grace into our lives. So now our young man can see. And that's causing all kinds of problems. The first people that we see that are blind to what's happening are the neighbors. He comes back into his old home area, and they're looking at him and saying, "Isn't that the kid that used to sit in the corner begging?" And some say, "Yep, same guy." And others are saying, "No, it must be someone that looks like him." And that's funny. Oh, they know it's him, but they can't comprehend that this has happened to him. And when they ask him, "What has happened here? Are you really that man?" What's his answer? "I am the man." That happens a lot. Maybe it's even happened to you. When my daughter was a seventh or eighth grader at Albuquerque, she was into writing poetry. And she presented one of her poems to a teacher, must have been English class. And the teacher challenged her that this was plagiarized because it was too good for a young person of her age to have this kind of sensitivity and write it down in a poem. And her exclamation is, "I am that person." Or perhaps you've run into that kind of experience yourself where you've done something that others would not normally have expected of you, and they challenge you on it. And your response is, "I am the person. It was me who did that." And this young man, who has experienced the healing of Christ as the light of the world, is declaring, "I am the person." And next, of course, what happens is now the parents get involved. Because the neighbors, not knowing quite what to do with this young man, take him to the Pharisees. And now we've got another issue that needs to be resolved. Because guess what? Jesus made mud on the Sabbath day. He worked on the Sabbath. He surely could not have been the one who caused this young man to see. And as they continue to ask the parents are blind because of their fear. Did you hear that? They didn't say a word because they were afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. And so they say, "You ask him. He's old enough. He's an adult. He can answer for himself." And that's what ends up happening. They ask him then, "Well, what do you say about this man?" And now we get the next step, because this man who has been healed says, "He is a prophet." You notice what he said about him at first, "A man made mud." And now he's saying, "He's a prophet." And that's funny, because look who is telling the Pharisees. These are supposed to be the people who are into the law and the prophets and the writers of the Old Testament. They should recognize a prophet when he's in their midst. And who recognizes a prophet? This guy who's been sitting alongside the road begging, but his eyes have been open. And then we begin to see a dialogue beginning to happen there. The Pharisees, being blind to what's happened, go into the dialogue with him. They are so locked into their concept of what's right, that they can't see the mysteries of God being revealed among them in Christ, the light of the world. I ran into this quote on Facebook this last week that I think kind of describes those Pharisees. Reverend Benjamin Kremer writes, "When we Christians become convinced that we are the only authority on truth, that anyone who opposes us is evil, and that things will only get better if we are in charge of all positions of power, that is when we no longer worship God. We are worshiping ourselves." They are blind at the work of God in their midst. And they continue. So they say, "Come on, give God the glory. This man can't be the one who has done this outside of the power of Satan." And then notice what happens next. This young man begins to answer them. There's two things happen here. The first thing is, what does the young man say to them? "Why are you asking this?" It's like it went over their heads, right? "I told you this before. Do you want to become his disciples?" That's funny. And of course, they get all indignant. "Who are you to be talking like this, you young whippersnapper? You haven't even been able to do anything more than beg to this point in your life." And then the young man says, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." So this illiterate, but apparently he's been listening, hasn't he? Because he knows the righteousness that is necessary before God in order for prayers to be heard. But this man who's been sitting there begging for all of his life, who's probably still dependent on his parents to be looking after many of his earthly needs, has now become the teacher of the teachers. And that's funny. They don't see what's in front of their own eyes. And how do they respond? They kick him out of the synagogue. They still are blind. And then Jesus, in his grace, responds again. For to be put out of the synagogue is excommunication, right? Can't be part of the people. And Jesus reaches out to him and says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Now, the Son of Man was a picture that came out of the Old Testament from the book of Daniel, which saw the Messiah coming and talked about him in the image of the Son of Man. And naturally, the question is, who is he? And Jesus responds, "The one who is speaking to you is he." And the response of the blind man who has received his sight at this point is now he falls on his knees and he worships Jesus. He acknowledges him as the Lord. Do you see the procession that has happened here? The blind man first says, he was a man. And then he says, he was a prophet. And now he falls down before him and worships him as Lord. And Jesus at this time welcomes him as the one who worships, who acknowledges him as Lord. Commentators speculate that what John is doing with this story is addressing those of the early Christian church who have begun to live under persecution. And he's telling them through this story, which reveals what Christ has done as light of the world, you don't need to be embarrassed. You don't need to turn your backs on it. Because this Christ is the one who opens the eyes of the blind. This Christ is the one who comes back to you in his grace and mercy, who's going to be with us today in his grace and mercy, in his body and blood at this altar, assuring us that even as we go through some of those same stages that the blind man went through in our lives, he will never fail us. He is there to keep our eyes open so that we might see how he is at work in our world, even as those who make fun of us and say we worship a myth in our lives. We don't need to be embarrassed. And we can dare to look at what's happening in our world with a sense of humor as we see those who actually think that they see everything but are still blind. And we do that not to feel superior, but in humility, saying along with Paul, our boast is not in ourselves, but it is in Christ, who came to be the light of the world, that when we were blind, we might see. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let's see, where are we here? At this place, we have the offerings. Please rise and join your hearts with me in prayer. You have a list of those who need prayers in your bulletins for today, and as we consider prayers for the sick, please be mindful of those. And today especially, we want to be mindful of the family of Reverend Armin Stope, who passed away this last Monday. His funeral will be at St. John in Canyon City on Thursday of this next week at 1:30 in the afternoon. Let us pray. Great physician, enlighten our eyes by your blessed gospel and hide us in your shelter in the day of trouble. Provide a home in your church for those cast out by this world and unite them with us in the pure confession of your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of hosts, your Son abides among his saints in the temple of his church. Shelter all those who seek refuge under the covering of his tent, and raise up pastors in every age to serve them in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, through holy baptism, you have brought us into the light of Christ. Guide us always in your ways, and teach us to know your will, that we would do what is good and right and true. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, those who wait for your salvation have the promise that you will not forsake them. Lead those who wander in darkness through rough places, that they would find the way of righteousness and not be put to shame. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Father, you have promised that what we suffer does not condemn us, but instead displays your glory. Sustain the afflicted in body or soul, especially those who are recorded before you, and especially the family of Armin Stope, that they would take heart, trust in you for their hope, and find, even in the midst of their trials, that you are with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, everyone who believes in Jesus as Lord will not be put to shame. Unite your people in a right confession of your word and free them from disagreement over your truth. Bring us with penitent hearts to receive the great riches of your Son's body and blood. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this point, we continue with our service of Holy Communion. We say our goodbyes to those who are listening by radio and ask that God keep you in the light of Christ in this time during the next week. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. Truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Saints. remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ for you. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you steadfast unto life everlasting. Go in the peace and light of Christ. Amen.
Forgiveness of sins. Take and drink.
This is the blood of Christ for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in true faith, the life everlasting. Go in the peace and the light of Christ. Amen. And preserve you steadfast in true faith, the life everlasting. Go in his peace and light. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ for you.
Been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Wilson.